Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Straight Talk. We're so glad you tuned into the broadcast today. Got an exciting program. We're going to be having a special interview with Sean Barber, who is being mentored by myself and is an employee of Nexus. And we're so glad to have him. And so we're going to be sharing his story with you. But in the meantime, before we get to that, we're going to be talking about some current events. There's a lot going on in the news, as you know. Big contest is coming up in New York as well concerning the showdown between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton as well as Donald Trump. Yes, the big contest is on, and I tell you, it's really interesting. What do you think? Who do you think is going to be the presidential nominee? There's all kind of speculation as to what's going to happen. We don't know. Does it really matter the way they've been acting? Well, we'll see. But perhaps you'd like to chime in and give us your opinion about it. Just give us a call, 347-850-1598. And we'll love to hear what you have to say and talk to us about it. Because your opinion does make a difference. This is not a one-way street. We want to hear what you have to say. And this is an opportunity that you can chime in. Well, we have on the program today Shane Barber. Shane, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, we're so glad that you're here. And I'm going to kind of introduce you. I know this is probably new for you, but I'm breaking in. That's one thing about me. I hit the ground running, and I'm going to help you be able to do as such. But Sean, he was incarcerated primarily for about 15 months at the local facility here in Harrisonburg called Harrisonburg Rockingham County Jail. It's a regional jail, and it holds, I think, a little bit over 300-something inmates. And when it spills over there, there's an agreement with a sister jail up the road, about 20 miles, called Middle River, which has 900 beds where the overflow can go up there. So they're not hurting. As a matter of fact, it cost the taxpayers about $24 million just to buy into that, whereas the jail officials were trying their best to build a $63 million jail. And we fought with a lot of good organizations to really work to stop that nonsense. And that's the fallout. That's what happened. But anyway, Sean Barber, who is a local resident, but lives in, had been away in Atlanta, was incarcerated for 15 months in the Rockingham County Jail. And Sean, are you glad to be out, my brother?
Yeah, real glad, real glad.
Won't you tell us some about your story, and then we'll pick up about your connection with us and Nexus and everything. When a person first see you, they know that, number one, that you look like an individual that don't take no stuff. As a matter of fact, I would have tabbed you as a professional basketball player, NBA player, or NFL player. So you would definitely have kept your physique in order. But the thing about it is, a lot of people don't understand when you're locked up on the inside. Now, a lot of people who are in the local jail, they look forward to, you might say, going up the road. But you were there for 15 months. Why is it that you would want to stay in the local jail for 15 months?
Well, it was easy on my visits to come. And, you know, I saved a little bit of money by, I was a trustee, so I was working in the kitchen. So I didn't really have to buy no extra commissary to eat or whatever. And it was just easy on my family, too. And I got situated there, got comfortable, and I just figured where I would get transferred. And it was a lot easier.
Yeah. Now, when we came in contact with you, we were conducted a class there, which we do on a every other week basis, called the Empowerment Program. It's a reentry empowerment program for men who are incarcerated but who are on their way back into society. And the purpose of my class is it's an 8-week class, and at the end of those consecutive weeks now, you graduate, and it's a big thing. And I'm sure that you knew about different other reentry programs, but what was it that attracted you to my reentry program, and what did you think about it?
Well, I've done reentry in another facility, like Coffeewood, and mainly like I said before, your class is more realistic because, I mean, you've been through it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And like Coffeewood and other, it's just, they just teaching out of books. They're not really hands-on, really don't have no experience of what's going on. They just going off of what they read in the books and what people are telling them. And, I mean, you can basically tell anybody anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you've been through it, so, I mean, it was just more real. It was more realistic, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and that makes a difference. It makes a real big difference. Tell me now, you were there, and you were an outstanding men that were in the class. As a matter of fact, this is one of the reasons why you are the first recipient of the Nexus Community Ambassador Program. And so we're excited to be able to partner with them, and we got some other things that's in the making too, such as Peacemaker program, which is in the making. And what these peace executives will do is there'll be peace executives who will be advocating community engagement, peace executives advocating community engagement, and we're in the process of raising funds for that program, and soon that'll be kicked off after we get our curriculum developed, and we'll have peacemakers in some of the geographical areas around the town. But this particular program that you're working with here, it's one that they reached out to you, and how did they reach out to you? Just, you don't have to go all in detail, but just what did they do for you that made you so excited about coming out? Because a lot of times when people come on the outside, they burn bridges. They don't really have a job. They may have to go into the poultry plant or something like that, or don't even have a place to stay. And so you can't just be teaching people on the inside and don't have anything to help them on the outside. And it's not just a handout, it's a helping hand. But tell us about what kind of program are you in?
Well, first of all, I didn't have nowhere to go. My family is in Atlanta, and the reason I'm staying up here is because of my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So they helped me find a place, and they gave me a job, which you mentioned before, community ambassador, which, you know, I'll be starting working with kids, as troubled kids that's getting in trouble and everything, because I've been through it. So who's better to teach somebody that's been through it? Just like the other night, you know, we went to the city council meeting, I mean, it's new to me. I just basically was taking it in for the last 2 days, but I mean, everything is new to me, and I mean, I just love being a part of it.
Well, it's certainly a delight to be able to get you acclimated to the community, and I know you were a part of a meeting with community leaders who were working to do some shaping in terms of being able to, it's talking about some of the things that's going on around the nation about police brutality and how we can work together to have a focus on that. But what do you think about a meet like that? People come together discussing about real, legitimate concerns in their community. What did that say to you?
That it is some, it's people around here that do care what goes on around here. And I care about, I've done my share of messing up in the community, and it's feel good to try to work out and, you know, make the community better, the community that I helped destroy at one point. So it just makes me feel good to know that there's really people out here that really do care what goes on.
That sounds so wonderful, my brother. What kind of people were at that meeting? Were they just, I don't know, were they, just tell us what.
It was, a little bit of everybody. It was teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not for sure.
Was it black, white?
Black, white, yeah, Latino, black, white, Latinos, teachers.
Young, old.
Yeah, it was all different races, ages. I mean, it was a little kid that was even there,
mm-hmm.
a young kid. I think he was in elementary school
mm-hmm.
that got an award. And it was a lot of different people. It was people that I've seen that I haven't seen in years that was there. And I'm pretty sure they were surprised to see me there because they never thought that I'd be one sitting down there wanting to know what's going on in the neighborhood. But I was there, though.
So you're looking at the community from a total different perspective.
Totally different.
Totally different.
Yeah.
Right. Why is it that you think that prior to going through what you went through, you didn't see what you're seeing now?
I didn't even give it an opportunity to see. I was just stuck in my ways.
Okay.
This is what I wanted. This is what I'm going to do. And that's what I stuck with. And if it didn't affect me back then, it didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, I mean, I'm just, like, if it didn't affect me, it didn't bother me, but in the long run, it does affect me.
So, in other words, you kind of caught up doing your own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, tell us about the ordeal of being incarcerated. Is it, you know the saying is, do the time, don't let the time do you. Is that real? Do the time, don't let the time do you.
That's real. It's real. And you can look at it being incarcerated as it's not a good thing, but it can bring a better person up out of there. It doesn't always have to be a negative thing. I mean, jail has saved people's lives, you know. If they were still doing the same things they were doing before they went to jail, they might not even be alive. So jail can be a real serious wake-up call. It's some that doesn't use it and doesn't look at it like that. But it's something to do, and I've looked at it. It's a wake-up call for me.
Yeah, I like to call it a God-ordained timeout.
Yeah.
It's a timeout in your life. It's that, God is, in other words, permitted you to have this timeout in your life so you can literally get it together. You can think about what it is that caused you to be there and what you want to do when you re-enter into society. And going to the class, was there any particular class teaching that stood out to you? I know we talked about accountability.
Yeah.
And you was telling me something yesterday. You said something about accountability was really something you said that was really paramount. I don't know if it was accountability is a commitment or something you said, but what about some of those teachers that you received, or could you tell us something? And the Peace Pledge, what is that all about?
Well, all right, let's start. The Peace Pledge is it's a pledge that, you know, we read every day, and it's basically telling you, you know, how to change and the steps that to change, and you know, and like accountability is one of the teachings that really stuck out to me because I was one that never would be accountable for what I do. I always had an excuse for, if this wouldn't have happened, then I wouldn't have done this. Or if this wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't have done that. And the whole time, I could have changed that myself. I could have stopped. You know, if I was being accountable for what I did, I could have stopped what I done. You know, it's not the reason why I did that. It's why I got locked up. You know, it was my fault. It was nobody else's fault but mine.
So it caused you to take a look at yourself.
Yeah.
And to be able to focus upon what it was that put you there, and simply just, you know, be accountable for that. And I know it's a joy working with you, brother, because you have insight because you've been there. And the perspective that you bring to the community is one that's important. Now, you know, even though you've been in this system for 15 months and you saw things from a different perspective, there's a lot that's been going on around the nation. And one of the things that we want to talk about is so much as to say the black-on-black crime. I kind of have problems when individuals want to try to stereotype everybody in the same boat. We're not a tribe situation, but there are some issues that are going on in our community today that are causing situations like that to happen. Not only just it's in most urban communities around the country, but how do you plan to reach out to young men who feel that they have to assert their manhood by pointing a gun at somebody or shooting somebody or doing something that is totally destructive of nature?
Well, actually, I would like to, you know, I mean, just got to show them that you don't have to take it to guns. If you got a problem with somebody, you don't have to take it to guns. You don't even got to get physical. I was the one that always used to get physical. You know, if you got a problem with somebody, you know, I would fight them. But actually, I've gotten, since I've been in jail this time, when I was in jail this time, I've gotten altercations. Never turned into a fight. And I actually, for the first time, talked it out with somebody. And we got along better, you know what I'm saying? I knew where they stood at. They knew where I stood at. And it just hit you like, you know, if it was before, we'd have gotten a fight. We'd have fought. But, you know, being in that program and listening to that peace prayers, you know, and taking a step at a time, how I say take a step at a time and talking about it, it works out. It works.
And having peace within yourself.
Yeah.
You know, there's a scripture that says, from whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence from the lust that war in your members? And when people don't have peace within themselves, then they become disturbers of the peace. And that's one of the things that I think is so important, is to have peacemakers who can actually help to preserve the peace. Society doesn't have to be torn up and shredded because of acts of violence on a consistent and daily basis. And that's one of the reasons why I think you were a trustee.
Yeah.
Now, just holding that position down, what were some of your responsibilities?
Well, I started off like working the halls, which was like mopping, sweeping, handing out trays. Then I went in the kitchen. I was in the kitchen for almost a year. I started gaining a little too much weight, so I came up out of there and went back in the hallway, which, you know, some buff floors, taking out the trash, just doing, you know, just doing little extra duties around the jail.
So, in other words, reentry programs and incentive programs are important than just having a person just locked up. Having some constructive activities that can be involved help to develop the individual to pass away that time in a productive way is very important.
Yeah.
Very important. Well, we're just so glad that my brother, that you were really selected and chosen because this program, you are the first of a kind, and we hope to have the president of Nexus, which is Mike Donovan, on the program to be able to explain why he decided to have this program and why he decided to partner with us here at the Thomas Center. Because we think that it takes individuals who are in a position to make a difference, and working together as co-laborers together in partnership is what it's all about. Too many times we have a tendency to reject and to ostracize those who have had unfortunate situations or circumstances in our life. None of us are perfect. There's a saying, to err is human and to forgive is divine. And I believe personally that the pillars of a love community is love, acceptance, and forgiveness. And brother, I think that you are really a walking example of that. You know that your time was a productive opportunity for you to get it together.
And yeah.
What do you feel this time is going to help you to keep it together while you're getting it together?
Just seeing change. If I can make some type of change, you know, that feels good. That motivates me right there.
Okay. Explain that a little more.
Like, if I can help a younger kid not make the same mistakes that I've made, then that's a lot of motivation for me right there. Because I wouldn't wish the path that I went and the situations I've been in, I wouldn't wish that on anybody, because I've been in some tough situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, like, being in jail this time, I lost two aunts and a grandmother.
Mm.
So I wasn't even there for them, and that hit hard, too.
Yes.
So I wouldn't want nobody to. If I can stop somebody from going to jail or whatever, then I'm all for it.
And that sounds so wonderful, because success breeds success. And that's what it seems that you want to, is to be a person who is committed to helping individuals make a difference. And that's what is so important today, because, you know, we live in a time where a lot of companies, they have what is called, when a person would come in and fill out an application, they had the box. And efforts have been made now, what's called ban the box, because just as they, soon as they saw that you had been incarcerated or had a felony, you know what they would do with that paper? They'd
shred it.
Shred it or put it in the file WB. And now, you know, people have an opportunity. The governor has signed off on that here, even in this city, the city of Harrisburg, Virginia, ban the box, where individuals can have the opportunity to explain their situation. And what do you think about a company that would give you the opportunity to be employed, to be able to have some resources and to be out in the community? In other words, in the fire, putting out fires, making a difference as a peacemaker. What do you think about a company like that?
It's a blessing. Because it doesn't happen to a whole lot of people, and it doesn't happen too often.
I see you got the Nexus shirt on.
Yeah.
I see you got that. You wear that proudly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you elaborate on that?
Well, you know, yeah, it's the shirt that Nexus gave me to wear, and
it's an image. They want you to.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
when I'm
out
here,
a lot of companies wouldn't do that.
Nah, when I'm out here in the community,
you've been incarcerated. You think I want you to represent my company? But they put you in this shirt, and they
uh-huh.
want you to be a representative. What do they call you? A community ambassador.
Yeah, community ambassador.
I tell you, that is exciting, my brother.
And I'm excited to be working with him. I really am. I'm looking forward to hopefully being able to go to some schools and talk to kids, and just do my part in the community, and try to give back.
Well, those of you from the local perspective who know of me, you know I'm committed. I'm about it. I'm not about any monkey business. I'm about father's business, and that is empowering, helping men, women, boys, and girls to make a difference in their life. If we can do that, there's a lot of fine people in this community, and I have the privilege of working with them on a daily basis. It's just a joy. People don't realize the wealth of talent we have in this community, women and men, and the insight they have, and they're young people, too. Many of them under the age of 30 who are just outstanding. And we want you, brother, just to join ranks and to be able to shine and be able to light the path, because this is something that is real. Mass incarceration is no joke. And everybody knows that it's broken, and it needs we need criminal justice reform. And when I look at you, I say there's hope. There's hope. And we know that we can work together to continue to spread the love. And so it's just a joy to have you on the program. Is there anything you'd like to say imparting to our audience today? This broadcast, by the way, goes all around. And Blog Talk Radio is one of the world's largest internet radio. And so that person that's at home that's listening, they just happen by chance to pick up this broadcast today, and they've been down in the dumps. They've been going on a binge. What would you say to them? What would you give them as a word of encouragement, how they can have a difference in their life?
I would say just take it one step at a time. Change isn't going to come overnight. You just got to slowly look in the areas that you're messing up in and just go one step at a time. It's like an AARNA meeting. Change is not going to come just overnight.
Mm. That's so wonderful said. Change is not going to come overnight. Did you hear that? That's for you. That's right, you. That individual that just heard that. You heard it? My Shane Barber. Change is not going to come overnight. That means it's step by step. Here a little, line upon line, per step upon per step. It happened for me, it happened for him, and it can happen for you. I want to pray for you, brother, and I want to pray for those in the audience today. Just feel compelled to do that. That's the thing about Straight Talk. We have a lot of flexibility here, and spirituality is very important. Very important. Now, I just want to pray, and I want to give God the glory for what he's done in this young man's life, and pray that his will be done and will guide him to fulfill his purpose in terms of helping others. And Father and our wonderful Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege that we have to have come across the path of his brother. Bless him and use him in wonderful ways. And may we continue to allow you to touch the lives of those that are listening. We thank you this day, and we give you all praise and all glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this has been Stan Macklin with Straight Talk. And remember, it's not the outlook, but it's the uplook. And whatever you're going through, don't give up. Be encouraged and have a beautiful, blessed day.